Pioneer Valley Radio is proud to present another installment of Brad Shepherd Today. Here's
Brad Shepherd.
And the first day of the month of November, and you have made it past Halloween. And today, the break rooms at work will overflow with leftover Halloween candy. And on we go. Turkeys, you better start running and hiding. And today, we have for you on our program a mattress reminder. November is Puerto Rican Heritage Month. And from Florida to New England, dogs, dogs, dogs. Special guest Cece Calabrese on the last days of her campaign for state senate. And Mark Auerbach is on the arts beat. First, a quick look at your weather for Tuesday, November 1. Mostly cloudy, scattered showers, high of 66. Winds 5 to 10, chance of rain 60%. Now, a quick reminder. Per the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, new mandatory mattress recycling law that we talked about the other day takes effect today. Springfield Department of Public Works is issuing immediate changes to the city's bulk pickup operations for the collection of mattresses. Now, per the state law, mattresses can only be recycled at locations that have been approved by the State Department of Environmental Protection. Standard waste disposal entities that are not under state contract will no longer be able to accept mattresses after November 1 today. Now, as such, and due to the requirements of collection and disposal per the DEP, the Springfield DPW will collect bulk pickup appointments for mattresses separately from the collection of standard bulk items. Mercy Medical Center officials are proud to announce an initiative to honor Vinnie Del Negro and his family for their vital and generous contributions to Brightside for families and children over the last 30 years. Mercy administrators Vinnie Del Negro and members of his family and local political leaders will gather on Thursday the 3rd of this week at 3 p.m. to rename the street leading to the hospital in honor of the Springfield native and former NBA star. The unveiling of Vinnie and Lynn Del Negro Way will include a formal ribbon-cutting ceremony. That has to be so cool to have a street named after you. More than 60 dogs and pups surrendered from commercial breeding facilities throughout the Midwest arrived by flight in Connecticut to be transferred to shelters in the Northeast. Now, these dogs are French bulldogs and poodles and shih tzus, and more from this surrender will remind the public that these types of pets can be found in their local animal shelter. Now, Dakin has welcomed 9 of the dogs, 1 adult, 8 pups, to its location at 171 Union in Springfield. Per state law, the dogs do have to remain in quarantine for some 48 hours. Then, they'll be medically and behaviorally evaluated by Dakin's veterinary staff prior to adoption. They will not be available for adoption until, at the earliest, the beginning or the middle of next week. November is National Puerto Rican and Native American Heritage Month. Puerto Ricans are mixed indigenous European and African ancestors, but cherish their indigenous Teano heritage. Puerto Rico's culture is a colorful tapestry of old and new, mixing all of these ancestral traditions together. You'll find expressions of that culture all around the island, as well as the United States, from art museums to vibrant murals, to Bombay Plena dance lessons and a traditional island dance at lively festivals that fill the streets of different parts of the country. Chicopee will start off this celebration with a flag raising at City Hall Wednesday, November 9th at 3 p.m. There will be some light refreshments outside of the mayor's office, and all members of the community are invited to attend this event. The mayor's office and City Hall are always thrilled to celebrate the diversity of all the cultures, their contribution to our community and heritage of Chicopee residents. Now, while we're in Chicopee, the City of Chicopee and Hamden County Sheriff's Office have entered into an agreement to have Hamden County Deputy Sheriffs participate in Peace Officer Standards Training, otherwise known as POST. The POST training is the national standard for officers responding to any call for service. Successful completion of the training will enable the officers to solely respond to any type of call, and was developed by the San Jose Police Department as the national standard for officer training. We have our eye on the race for state senate and pick up the thread with one of our challengers for the post, C.C. Calabrese.
For the scant few days before Election Day in the Commonwealth, campaigns are heating up, and an interesting race that we've had our eye on is for state senate with an old friend of ours at Pioneer Valley Radio, C.C. Calabrese, who has been in public service in Agawam and across the state for some time. And C.C. is making her bid for state senate against opponent John Vilas. C.C., welcome back to Pioneer Valley Radio.
Thank you so much, Brad. It's so nice to talk with you.
Well, here we are in the home stretch, and I'm thinking to myself that a lot of the big stuff is now sort of behind you, and you're now in the, as I said a moment ago, the home stretch to the finish line. How would you characterize your campaign right now?
Oh, my gosh. I so feel the momentum. I just spent the weekend at the Biggie Gun and Knife Show passing out not only my literature, but literature for the Second Amendment candidates from across the Commonwealth. I really feel the tide is shifting in our favor. Mm-hmm. I think that my opponent knows that this seat is slipping away from him. Most of the support that I have gotten, in fact, the lion's share has been from the grassroots, those individual donations, people that have dug deep and, you know, sent me $25 or $50. And, you know, mm-hmm. I know that is money that they need to feed their families. That's why I have not really been pounding the pavement for funds, because people are hurting right now already as it is. And they're hurting because of policies that my opponent has voted in favor of. And people are sick of it. They're tired of it. Mm-hmm. What he has been doing, especially lately, is going around with his, what I call the big check photo op, where he's sprinkling taxpayer money over communities in our district and making it look like he's the Santa Claus, like he's the one that's getting all this done. He just recently took, you know, credit for a MathWorks grant, $1 million MathWorks grant, that they were going to get regardless of who was in that seat. And he made it, you know, appear as though it was his work that got that money to these people. This is taxpayer money coming back to the district. And he should not be getting credit for that. That's the low-hanging fruit of politics, and it's disgusting.
Well, you in a phrase, you've certainly had your work cut out for you. Should be noted, you're running as a Republican for state senate. You're running as a Republican in Massachusetts, which immediately makes you a snowball in an incubator.
Absolutely.
But if there was ever a time when there are some interesting trade winds blowing, how it affects Massachusetts, I don't know. We'll find out at the ballot box. This would be the time. Does that fuel you at all?
Absolutely. You know, I just look, I've been following my opponent's voting record, and he voted a pay raise for himself and for state workers in this economy. He voted in favor of the graduated income tax, which is going to hurt seniors that have been paying into their houses their whole lives, and maybe they sell their house and they end up with $1 million, which, Brad, you and I both know, $1 million to a retiree, that's not a lot of money. But he voted in favor of taxing that extra. He voted in favor that graduated income tax is also going to hurt our small businesses. He voted to take away the gas and diesel powered vehicles, which is, you know, President Biden's environmental policies, which has been hurting the whole country. He sold into that. He voted to make universal mail-in balloting permanent, knowing that there are no safeguards in that system. I'm going to point to question 4, which I am very heavily involved with. I was one of the original petitioners to get question 4 on the ballot. Interestingly enough, our Democrat Secretary of State left it out of the information book. So, I think there is a little attempt at suppressing the vote on question 4. And, you know, that's just my opinion. But, well, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I'm hearing a much more aggressive CC than I've heard in campaigns past. And I think that's showing, you know, your personal and political growth. And it's quite interesting. Now,
yeah.
With the fact we have some limited time here at the moment. People are going to be hearing this the day after Halloween, November 1st. And I know that you and the other side of Ms. Calabrese here is Dr. Michael Calabrese, and Cece shares a very thriving dental practice with the doctor in Agawam. You do a post-Halloween bid for candy to help the teeth of the youngsters across the Commonwealth. Tell me a little bit about that.
We are very excited to bring this program back after 2 years. We work with the Agawam Veterans Council, and what's happening is starting tomorrow between 5 and 7, we're going to be collecting any unwanted Halloween candy. And if you come in between the hours of 5 and 7 on November 1st, you get your name in a drawing, and we give away some movie passes. You know, it's just a little token thank you. But what happens is people come in all week to donate their Halloween candy, and that candy goes to the troops serving overseas. And yeah, we've been doing this program since 2008. You know, we kind of look back to see how long we've been doing this, and it's really been, you know, a wonderful program. What we're told is that not only does the candy go to the troops serving overseas as, you know, part of a care package, but the troops also share that, those treats, with the children in the community where they're deployed for goodwill. You know, to follow, you know, and to share some of the bounty that the United States has to offer with children and families across the country. So it really is a wonderful program. We're so glad we're able to bring that back again this year. So, I encourage anyone that has any leftover Halloween candy, it needs to be, of course, wrapped. Doesn't have to be full bags. You know how the fun size comes in the packages. Just so long as the pieces are individually wrapped. And we do have a way of keeping chocolate from melting. So if most of what you have is chocolate, don't feel like, oh, I can't donate chocolate. They love the chocolate. So we can, we have, you know, climate control conditions to keep the chocolate from melting. And I'll bring it by Dr. Calabrese's office at 850 Springfield Street, Suite 2 in Feeding Hills.
Yeah.
And a special thank you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's a win-win all the way around because it's less candy for the kids, and you know they'll be okay. They still will have enough, and it's for the troops. It's something for the troops. So it's a very thoughtful thing that you're doing. We have the campaign and the Halloween candy here in a nutshell, and we'll be back in touch with you as we near election time.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Brad.
Thank you, Cece Calabrese, State Senate. On Pioneer Valley Radio.
Time now for the happenings in the region, from music to plays, all performances, with ArtsBeat reporter Mark Auerbach. Mark?
Love, Millie, and Murray, a new play by T. Emerson, premieres at West Springfield's Majestic Theater through December 4th. Frank Aronson and Julie Nelson star in The Two-Hander as a couple who have been married for 57 years. Sue DeJura directs. For details, majestictheater.com. The Springfield Symphony Orchestra performs Messages from Mozart with guest conductor Tanya Miller November 5th. The program includes the Ukrainian composer Valentin Silvestrov's The Messenger, Mozart Symphony No. 36, also known as The Linz, and Brahms Symphony No. 3. Ilan Sikroff is the guest pianist. For details, SpringfieldSymphony.org. Stories of the Night Sky. The Seymour Planetarium at the Springfield Museum celebrates its 85th anniversary November 5th with a series of events, including a performance from the Luminarian Dance Company. For details, SpringfieldMuseums.org. Scheherazade, the classic ballet from Mikhail Fokine, set to the lush musical score by Rimsky-Korsakov, will be performed by the UMass Department of Music and Dance November 3rd through 5th at Chapman Performance Hall. UMass Dance Director Tom Vacanti choreographs the piece, which was inspired by the 1001 Arabian Nights tales. For details, fineartcenter.com. Let Us Cheer the Weary Traveler, a program of choral music featuring the works of Black choral composers from the 16th century to today, will be performed by the Pioneer Valley Symphony Chorus November 5th at the Second Congregational Church in Greenfield. newly appointed choral director, Dr. Allegra Martin, directs the 60th anniversary concert. For details, evsoc.org. The Tuesday Morning Music Club, celebrating its 121st year, presents two monthly classical music programs on Tuesdays at Asbury Hall Trinity Church in Springfield, Massachusetts. For details on upcoming programs, TuesdayMMC.org. Dastak, I Wish You Me, performed by the Ananya Dance Theater, takes center stage November 3rd at Bowker Auditorium on the UMass Amherst campus. Presented by the Fine Arts Center, led by acclaimed dancer, choreographer, and educator Ananya Chatterjee, and I apologize if I mispronounce the name, the company is one of the nation's leading performance ensembles of BIPOC women and femme artists, dedicated to the transformative power of dance and social justice. For details, fineartscenter.com. And last, a play, The Things I Cannot Change, a new play by Pia Wilson, gets a staged reading at Berkshire Theatre Group's Unicorn Theatre in Stockbridge, November 6th. Story Ayers directs the drama about two women recovering from recent traumas in their lives. For details, berkshiretheatregroup.org. For Pioneer Valley Radio, I'm Mark Auerbach.
Thank you, Mark, and thanks to everybody for being a part of our program at Pioneer Valley Radio, the show we call Brad Shepherd Today. Tomorrow, we return with a new program for you up online and available on demand here at Pioneer Valley Radio. I'm Brad Shepherd, and we'll talk again.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Pioneer Valley Radio. Copyright
2022.
All rights reserved.